The Real Life Network celebrates our one-year anniversary. Real Life Network's goal is to fast-forward your faith. And fast-forward is exactly what we've experienced during an explosive first year. We've seen more than a quarter of a million users. Nearly 100 programmers have come on board to add their content to a platform that's free from the influence of government, media, and secular agendas. Praise God for how He's been using this new tool to bring the hope of the gospel and the truth of God's Word to the world.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. No, it is not Todd Starnes. He is out today on the road traveling. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Yours truly, Andy Hoosier, filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program today, moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas, at my flagship radio station here in the center of the country. So great to have you along, though, and happy Friday. It is an open line Friday, which means we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of news going on, man. A lot of things to cover, a lot of things to talk about, and we're going to do it all right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. As we do it live, right?
Do it live!
Each and every day. It's the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome in. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926 is the number if you would like to jump on the show and chat with us today. We're going to cover a gamut of issues. We have immigration back in the news. We have the campaigns, obviously. Some new rules with the debate coming up next week for presidential debates at numero uno. Are you prepared for it? I don't know that I am, but it's going to be fun nonetheless. Plus, I know Todd talked about it yesterday, but a interesting conversation regarding the Ten Commandments in the state of Louisiana with the Ten Commandments going into public classrooms. You're more than welcome to chime in on that conversation and so much more throughout the show. Bottom of this hour, a good friend of mine coming on the show, Chris Clem. He works with Americans for Prosperity Now, trying to educate people on the southern border. He's a former border security chief from numerous different places on the border and some of the more, let's just say, intense areas on the southern border. And he'll be joining us at the bottom to talk about the latest Biden executive actions, two of them. And are they going to work? Who's he trying to pander to? And what's this going to do for immigration moving forward? I've said this many times before. I know Todd's talked about it as well. But remember, at this point on, from this point moving forward, every single thing done by every politician and everybody in Washington, D.C., everything that's done is done with a political purpose for the election. It's not to actually solve anything. It's not to do anything productive. And this is really from both sides of the aisle, let's be honest. But everything that's done is with a political purpose for the elections. So we'll cover some of that here in just a little bit. Big news, though, happening right out of the gate this morning, though. As you know, the Supreme Court of the United States is coming out with all of their opinions. They're going into their summer recess. And for some reason, this has turned out to be kind of like a big party now every year. All eyes are on the Supreme Court. What decisions are they going to make? I don't know that that used to be the case years ago. But really, the last 2, 3 years, 4 years, I guess, every year we're all just sitting on the edge of our seats waiting, lingering for what SCOTUS is going to be releasing, because it's had such dire impacts on society, on politics, and on legislation from Congress and from whatever administration's in office. Before, it used to be like, oh, okay, you know, it's fine, whatever. But now, man, I mean, a couple years ago, I think, was the big trendsetter when they came out reversing Roe v. Wade, and the left lost their minds. So this year we have a few that are lingering and still some that are lingering that we haven't quite heard from yet. But according to NBC News this morning, right out of the gate, the Supreme Court has now upheld a federal law prohibiting individuals that are subject to domestic violence restraining orders from having firearms. Not the biggest decision, not the biggest, oh my gosh, kind of thing, but a decision nonetheless that they've officially released. That's not a surprise. Now, why it's making the news and why Democrats love to focus on this one is because it's a Second Amendment issue. And obviously, while the Biden administration is desperate to find some type of platform to run on at all, they have to use the Supreme Court with what their decisions are to actually say what they're going to do. If you've noticed, the Biden administration's been running their entire campaign as if they're not the incumbent. Their entire campaign, both Kamala Harris, and yes, I like to say Kamala, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have been campaigning as if they are not the incumbent and what they would want to do if they get into office for the next 4 years. Not the record of what they've been able to do, not talking about how great their success has been. Remember Ronald Reagan back in the late 80s when he ran for re-election in 84? And I mean, I wasn't around that time. I was not born yet. Yes, you can judge me on my age. Thank you very much for that, being a millennial myself. But if you remember, I've seen the campaign ads of how great things are. The American dream's alive. People are flourishing. People are having fun. Everything's wonderful. The economy's great. Inflation's down. Everybody can afford things. You can enjoy the American dream. You can have fun. You can work hard. And you can do what the streets paved with gold is all about, with that opportunity for everyone. And guess what? Ronald Reagan won re-election with 49 states. Nowadays, we have an administration that's running to be like, well, if I run in 4 years, then I might be able to hold in my depends, and I'll plan on possibly doing something for the next 4 years if I can remember what my name actually is. That's the campaign that we're seeing from the Biden administration right now. So them dying to find some type of platform to run on, the Second Amendment, I guess, is one that they could do, although it's not a very productive or a very positive type of campaign. I don't know if you've noticed or not. In the past few years, any candidate on the other side of the aisle that has run on a two-way agenda, wanting to crack down on guns, wanting to do gun confiscation, universal background checks, red flag laws, all this other garbage, any candidate that's run on that type of platform has not done well. Eric Swalwell, when he ran for president, Hillary Clinton, when she ran for president, even Kamala Harris, when she ran for president, Beto O'Rourke, when he ran for president, none of them did well. They all float around 2 to 3% of the support, because their entire main focus, their number one priority on the campaign was, we're going to go after guns. And what they haven't realized yet is that even Democrats carry firearms. And with crime rates skyrocketing all over the nation, and break-ins, and murders, and robberies, and homelessness, and all the other stuff that's going on, that self-defense seems to be kind of top priority numero uno for many individuals, many Americans across the nation, because they don't want that to happen to them. Every time that there's a shooting, God forbid, and the agenda from the mainstream media and from the Democrats is to let's try and crack down on guns and go after the guns. Guess what? People in those communities thought, oh my gosh, I never thought this could happen to me. I'm going to go out and get a firearm now because I need to defend myself, because law enforcement can't stop it proactively. They're there to collect the bodies at the autopsy. So we have to do something different. So the Second Amendment platform is not a particularly positive campaign for them, but they have nothing else to run on. So the Supreme Court decision on the domestic violence individuals that aren't able to purchase a firearm, not a big shocker, but yet they want to run on it and then turn it around and say Republicans want to, you know, allow just criminals to get it and abusers to get firearms and so on and so forth. Kind of like what they did just a week or so ago with the bump stock ban that the Supreme Court reversed, where they said, oh, look at that. Supreme Court reversed the decision from the Trump administration. Doesn't that look silly to you, Donald Trump? And Trump turned around, who obviously is a pro Second Amendment individual endorsed by the NRA in the nation, and they say, well, I got to just abide by the Supreme Court. Oh, darn, you can have your bump stock back that nobody actually ever uses in the Second Amendment industry. And it kind of turned things back on the Democrats, where they didn't like. So interesting stuff. But the Supreme Court making out their decisions, we'll see if there are more. We possibly could have some guests on the program throughout the day today if there are more Supreme Court decisions that are released as they begin to wrap up their session and get ready for their summer break that's caused some controversy on the other side. In other news, though, the immigration thing doesn't seem to go away. And I think, and poll numbers show this, that the vast majority of Americans all over, even non-border states, because now every state's a border state, with how bad immigration's become, illegal immigration has become. We don't want to use the woke terms of just dismissing that, because that's exactly what it is. People coming across the border illegally, on many different platforms, by the way, many different ways, by United Nations global government definition, refugee seekers, asylum seekers, are supposed to go to a country that's bordering the nation that they're trying to flee from. You don't fly halfway across the world in order to come across the country illegally by doing an online appointment with a border patrol agent, doing a 2-minute screening, and then getting a social security card or some type of social program card and being shipped off to a city and saying that you're an asylum seeker. That's not how that program works. And we need to be very clear of that. But now Joe Biden, in a desperate state, again, trying to find his platform, has come out with two executive actions over the past couple weeks. And I know, I remember that the memory that we have, the short-term memory loss that we have in politics, we seem to forget these things, especially on the other side where the wind blows, and then we completely forget, remember, these aren't the droids you're looking for, to make sure that you don't remember what they've done. He signed an executive action a couple weeks ago that would allow, if you remember, cracking down, shutting down the border, cracking down, making sure that no more than 5,000 people a day come through our borders, which is like a million people a year if you actually add up the numbers. And then after that, if there's more, then we'll shut it down to 1,500 a day, and then we'll raise the average up to 25 or whatever they were trying to do. And it didn't actually do anything to the border. And in fact, when the first test came about, the very first weekend after he signed it, they didn't even enforce it. In fact, they broke that number. And according to the Biden administration and their orders to the border security, that the Border Patrol agents, that they allowed more individuals to come in just that first weekend. So it failed miserably on that front. So this week, they have to look tough again by acting, again, it's all politics, it's all election campaign, it's not actually doing anything substantial, looking like he's very compassionate, trying to win back over a Hispanic population that is desperately and at record rates walking away from the Democrat Party.
The second action I'm announcing today was about keeping families together. My dad used to have an expression, he said, Joey, family's about the beginning, middle, and the end. About keeping couples together who are married, where one spouse is a U.S. citizen, the other is undocumented. They've been living in the United States for at least 10 years. These couples have been raising families, sending their kids to church and school, paying taxes, contributing to our country
Contributing to the society, you've been around for a long time, and if you've been married to someone, then you can stay here. The amnesty card. Now, remember, this is the same guy that's tried to buy off the younger generation by student loan forgiveness. This is the same one that's been pushing for a massive amnesty. This is the same one trying to give universal basic income, a.k.a. The child tax credits that you're going to get paid on a monthly basis, possibly again here relatively soon. They're pushing that one. Joe Biden now, with executive action numero dos, trying to give amnesty to a 500,000 people at least that are illegally married to somebody, which I know that you have to go through a process, and being married to someone already gives you kind of a leg up in order to become a U.S. citizen or at least a resident to some degree. So I'm not sure exactly what this executive action does, but you might want to cover up again your desperation showing, because this is obviously just a state of trying to win them back over. Have you noticed that there are no Hispanic individuals showing up to rallies for Joe Biden? Have you noticed there's nobody on social media talking about how great Joe Biden really is? Because they're upset with the policies that he's created. And this is, again, nothing more than that desperate attempt. Now, compare that to what Donald Trump's trying to do, which we'll do right after the break here in just a moment. But he's come out during an interview with a podcast recently on what his stance is on the immigration thing, which obviously he's dominated this conversation, wanting to give people a better access to become residents or citizens, but doing it in a way of incentivizing them by actually doing something productive instead of just whoosh, wiping it across the board. And while Joe Biden looks to try and buy them off, it doesn't quite resonate with some voters when he also at the same time has been promoting individuals that have not been very favorable on the immigration portion at all. In fact, according to Fox News, that a former Interior Department communications director by the name of Tyler Cherry has now been promoted and hired for a new role working on the communications department inside of the Biden White House. Now, who is this guy, might you ask? Well, okay, I'm going to assume, can't assume people's genders nowadays, but I'm going to assume that Tyler Cherry is a male-influenced individual. He's been known for sparking controversy on social media by attacking law enforcement, criticizing Republicans, and supporting the anti-Israeli pro-Palestinian movement. And oh, by the way, going after Border Patrol agents. Now, while you're trying to look tough on the border by signing executive action numero one, and then you do number two executive action, giving amnesty, and you promote this individual who's been very open border policy, very anti-Israel, very anti-Republican, being very anti-Border Patrol agents. When you promote someone like that, it doesn't give you a good message, does it? But they don't care. I think they're all over the place. And I really think the Biden administration is really, really struggling on trying to lock in on what exactly that platform is going to be for them. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. If you want to jump on for an open line Friday, we can talk about this immigration issue, what Trump's plan is. We'll do that when we come back. Plus, we have some callers on the line. Joe will get to you as soon as we come back here. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. Back right after this.
Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today.
Today it was about keeping families together. My dad used to have an expression. He said, Joey, family's about the beginning, middle, and the end. Keeping couples together who are married, where one spouse is a U.S. citizen, the other is undocumented. They've been living in the United States for at least 10 years. These couples have been raising families, sending their kids to church and school, paying taxes, contributing to our country for 10 years or more. Matter of fact, the average time they've spent here is 23 years, the people we're affecting today. But living in the United States all this time with this fear and uncertainty, we can fix that. And that's what I'm going to do today.
My dad used to say, Joey, before my brother got eaten by cannibals, we used to do things the right way back in my... Joe Biden, we love him. Welcome back into it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. Imagine that different executive action order from Joe Biden compared to what Donald Trump just did on a podcast recently announcing what his plan is to allow individuals an easy path to residency or citizenship or whatever may happen thereafter.
What I want to do and what I will do is you graduate from a college. I think you should get automatically as part of your diploma a green card to be able to stay in this country. And what I wanted to do, and I would have done this, but then we had to solve the COVID problem because that came in and, you know, sort of dominated for a little while, as you perhaps know. And they desperately wanted to stay here. They had a plan for a company, a concept, and they can't. They go back to India. They go back to China.
And he's right on. I mean, if we're going to bring the people in, bring the brightest in, be able to get a student visa, work through, graduate college, and then be able to get your green card to stay here as you work towards your citizenship and bring the incentive here as opposed to just like, hey, well, you've been here for a while. Might as well just keep you here. What the hell? It's crazy times. Let's go to Joe from the great WDUN in the great state of Georgia. Joe, what's going on, my friend?
Great show. I just want to say we've got a very, first of all, I think Trump's going to win a landslide. But second, we've got a young kid in high school who's 7'1" tall. His name is Jackson McVeigh. Tech in Georgia have offered him a scholarship plus many other schools. He's a straight A student. You hear so many things about bad kids. This kid is an outstanding young man. And besides that, he's 7'1". He's got a kid brother who's a sophomore in high school who's 7 foot old. He's 7 feet. So you've got two guys in our high school who are 7 feet tall. They're both outstanding young men. Their parents were both in the Hall of Athletic Hall of Fame. And you're going to hear a lot about him. His name is Jackson McVeigh. He's an outstanding young man. And the family's just great. And it makes you feel great about America. And I just wanted to tell people on the great Todd Starnes show about the McVeigh family, because you're going to hear a lot about Jackson. Can you imagine 2 7-foot kids on a high school team?
Hey, that's definitely impressive. And you know what? The American dream is still alive in America, producing and creating the best of the best around the world. And that's what it's all about. So that's an interesting story, Joe. I appreciate that very much. And you know what? I am confident with you guys down there in Georgia with your elections and with Trump being able to win, especially down there. even after the 2020 shenanigans that may or may not have happened. So, you know what? Born and bred right here in the U.S. of A. and producing the greatest and the best. The bigger, better, faster, stronger. It's not dead! And I'm excited about that. Lots more coming up on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Stay here.
You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes. So Todd is out today. He's traveling as he is set to speak at the On the Road or the Road to Majority conference coming up this weekend. He'll be having his book signing. He'll be hanging out, being one of the speakers. You can find all the information at roadtomajority.com. Also, as just a little reminder for you, even though he's on the road today traveling to the Road to Majority conference, he will be doing his Newsmax TV show live, and it'll be live from Washington, D.C. Kind of awesome, right? Right now, we're hanging out here on the Todd Starnes radio program. We're making it huge and bigly, if you know what I mean.
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
Which is what we do every day. I want to tell you about our friends over at First Cup Coffee Company. These guys are great. Christian-owned Patriot Coffee Company that stands for the same core values, family, and building community across the nation like we do here and what Todd does each and every day on this show, where they have freshly roasted coffee beans delivered in grounds or whole directly to you in bulk. You have 11 roasted profiles available. And guess what? They don't do like the whole selling the burnt coffee, kind of like some of the other big chains, if you know what I mean. They ship within days of being roasted, and you can save now. All you got to do is subscribe and save. All subscriptions get free shipping. No contracts. You can cancel at any time. And you can change your subscription at any time during your plan. You can choose multiple different flavors, quantity, and shipping frequencies, have them directly delivered to you. Pods are also the hand-filled within days of being roasted, and you can build your box on the website to have it shipped out. Here's what you do. Go to the website at firstcup.com. Firstcup.com and use the promo code Todd. I know that now that we're in the middle of the day that you're probably getting that second wind that you need. Firstcup.com. Use the promo code Todd and save an additional 10% on your order. And if you subscribe, you can save an additional 10% as well for the life of your subscription. So sign up for that subscription. Use the promo code Todd at firstcup.com. It's First Cup Coffee Company, proud partners with us here on the Todd Starnes radio program. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. Now, as you know, we've been talking about this immigration action, the executive action from Biden, two of them. The first one was like the watered down version of the immigration bill that tried to come out of the Senate that they kind of corrupted. The second one now is just like, we're just going to get people amnesty because why the heck not? Looking and appearing. This doesn't do anything. Remember, there was an interview on, I want to say MSNBC about a week ago, where some of the Democrat experts and strategists were talking, and they openly admitted, they kind of said the thing that wasn't supposed to be said, where they openly said that we don't need to solve the immigration problem. We have to look like we're addressing the issue. That's it. All Joe Biden has to do. Now, remember, Donald Trump dominates on the immigration thing. He has since 2016 when that was his priority number one. And now in the polls all over the nation, it shows that voters show that that is issue priority number one for them between the economy and immigration, that those are the biggest issues to them. So he has to address it. But they kind of said the part they weren't supposed to. If we're not here to solve the issue, we're here to appear like we're addressing problems at the border. Which is why he's come out with these executive actions after 3 years of saying he can't do anything through executive action and it needs to be done through legislature. I want to bring on our guest here on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. He's been a great friend of mine for a long time. I met him actually at the border last summer as we got to tour part have the southern border and learn what's going on. He works with Americans for Prosperity, educating people on immigration issues, and a former border security chief of Border Patrol. Really happy to have on the Todd Starnes radio program with us here, Mr. Chris Klemm. Chris, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Andy, how you doing? Always a pleasure to be speaking to you, whether it's on your show or filling in for Todd. This is great. Man, your segue, your lead in, I mean, it's like a mic drop. You got it spot on what's happening, man. Like I've said since day one, they're about securing their narrative, not securing the border. And this just proves it.
Well, it's weird that they would openly say that, though. I mean, obviously, he's not doing well poll-wise on handling the immigration issue. We've had almost 8 to 10 million people come in illegally under the 3 years of his administration, 3.5 years. And then he said he couldn't do anything through executive action. Now he's done two of them in the last couple of weeks. The first one, again, like essentially a watered-down version of the Senate bill, allowing up to 5,000 people a day and then trying to cut it back down and then average. And I don't know how you can do all that, but even the first weekend after he signed it, they didn't even abide by the executive order. They allowed people to continue on. So from your perspective as a former chief of Border Patrol and different agents on some really hot spots on the border, that type of executive action, how in the world do you even enforce something like that? Because I don't know that you can.
Well, it was completely ridiculous. It didn't stop anybody from coming across the border. All it did was say when we get to a certain number, I think in his executive action it was 2,500, that have claimed asylum, or in our case when we arrest them, they're claiming fear of return and seeking asylum through the credible fear process. 10,000 could have come across a day, and they just capped out how many could actually claim asylum or seek asylum in that process. So there was absolutely nothing in the executive order or the second one that did anything to secure the border. In fact, nothing in this administration has done anything to secure the border. It's only about managing the chaos and the facilitation of people coming in. And we just got some numbers today. I think the official numbers for May topped out of 170,000, which puts us at 1.69 million so far this fiscal year, with four more months left to go. I kind of predicted we're going to fall. This will be year three out of four Biden years, the third busiest year. Because remember, year one was 1.66 million. So this is going to be 1.7, 1.8 million maybe. But then year two and three, it was 2.2 million, 2.4 million. Yeah. So he's done nothing. And I hope and I believe, because I've been going around the country, the American people are seeing this, that this is all political fodder, that they have no intention of doing anything. Just like you said, they just have to appear to be addressing it, and they're not. They're just facilitating more people. I mean, the 1.7 million I'm talking about that we caught this year, that doesn't include the 600,000 that they've brought in unlawfully through this parole program, or the ones that they've rerouted to just apply on the app. So there's another 1 million people right there. So there's roughly 2.69 million people that have come in this fiscal year under this president that don't have the qualified rights to be here. They would have entered illegally. They've just been shuttling and shuffling people. So, it's just another layer of nonsense that this administration is putting on the American people, American taxpayer, that is not helping solve the situation.
It's very frustrating. When you were Border Patrol and you were working with them and you were encountering these migrants that were trying to come across the border legally or illegally, and they were talking to you individuals, when these types of executive actions come through and come down to allow an X number of individuals, or like this last one that just came out the last day or so, of just giving amnesty to the 500,000 that are here that are married to individuals here in the country to kind of fast track them to residency. Does this entice more people to be interested in wanting to try and cross the border, because they know once they get here, more than likely, they're probably not going to be deported?
Yeah, not only does it entice them because it's out there publicly, but even the people that are working within the administration are so tied into non-government organizations and advocacy groups that are pushing this that they know about it in advance. There's a Seinfeld episode about the unadvertised sale. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like they're letting everybody know, hey, in 2 days, we're going to be doing this. So come on, get going, get ready. That is what they do. Every time they telegraph what they're going to do, that is a signal for the marketing strategies within the criminal organizations to say, okay, let's go get these migrants, let's tell them this, and let's encourage them because this is what's going to happen. So, yes, they absolutely are paying attention to everything we do, especially during election cycles, because we start talking about that a year or so out about, hey, this is what's going to happen when you invite me, whether it's a congressional cycle, a Senate cycle, or a presidential cycle. This is free marketing and advertising for the criminal organization to continue to exploit the migrants. And again, you've heard me talk about this many times. We want to be that beacon of hope for the right people, but yeah, we do not need the wrong people coming here. We don't need people exploited and profit off of by the criminal organizations and put money in their coffers because we have failed policies coming out of Washington. And that's what happens when they signal. And these migrants absolutely are paying attention to it. These are called pull factors. And that's what we keep on harping on is you can't be creating policies that are pulling people in to get over here. And then, you know, it just adds to more problems and exacerbates an already existing, you know, problem in the immigration system.
It's a great point. We're talking with Chris Klemm. He is a retired Border Patrol chief, and you can find him on the Tweety, or X if you want to call it that, at C Klemm Official, C-C-L-E-M Official on there. Talk about the difference here, the difference between Biden's handling of immigration, which has been an absolute disaster, obviously, and Trump's handling, not only when he was president, but also his new plan that he released and announced on a podcast recently saying this.
What I want to do and what I will do is you graduate from a college. I think you should get automatically as part of your diploma, a green card to be able to stay in this country. And what I wanted to do, and I would have done this, but then we had to solve the COVID problem because that came in and, you know, sort of dominated for a little while, as you perhaps know. And they desperately wanted to stay here. They had a plan for a company, a concept, and they can't. They go back to India. They go back to China.
So enticing people to actually, hey, if you want to come here, let's bring the brilliant ones. Let's bring the ones that are actually contributing to society in that fashion. If you come here on maybe a student visa and you go to college, then you know what? As part of your diploma, you get a green card and you can work your way towards residency or citizenship. That difference between, we're just going to give you amnesty because you've been here for a while and we're just going to do the next big DACA movement by just allowing everybody to stay. There's a difference in policy tactic there, isn't there?
Yeah, two things I want to address. One, the difference between Trump and Biden when it comes down to border security and they're addressing the issue. One, Trump was about securing the border. We have to secure the border to secure America. He ran on it and he listened to the Border Patrol agent requirements. We built the wall where we needed to build the wall, or at least we were planning on finishing that until Biden took it away from us. But the personnel, the technology, the infrastructure, the policies, those were all requirements that Border Patrol agents needed and wanted, and Trump implemented. Biden took all that away starting on day one, and it was a huge pull factor. And he hasn't addressed the security issue. Very limited, and I mean limited, places did they actually fill gaps. It took 18 months to fill a gap that was, you know, over the Colorado River there in Yuma when I was chief. They didn't even finish it before I retired. But it was, you know, it was painful for them to actually admit that they needed to do some things. And they have slow-rolled everything regarding security to the point where it's almost ineffective, and they pulled more people in. And in reference to what the president what President Trump just mentioned and what his plan would be, I don't see that being a problem, but I do not like broad brushing. If you graduate college, you automatically get a green card, because some of these people may not really meet that standard, right? They could have been here already, or there could be some criminal histories. I mean, I just don't like broad brushing. I think from a where he would like to go, obviously there'd be some requirements and some exemptions and some exceptions, but I think that's kind of raising that bar and that standard of what we expect. Not everybody in, you know, needs to go to college, but they need to be able to be showing that they can assimilate and they can be contributing to the betterment of America. So I like the idea. It's just I want to make sure that we just don't send a message, you graduate, automatic green card, because there should be some nuances and some corrective actions and exemptions along the way. But I like the direction they're going, because it's raising a bar, not lowering a bar. And you know, we all know that as Americans, we want to raise the bar so we can get better and grow and continue to prosper. So I like the premise of where he's going. Obviously, there'll be some more work to be done around that. Should he get into office, I would applaud that. But again, raise the bar before they even get here. And then if you meet those entitlements, you got a visa and you graduate, I'm all in favor of looking at some kind of system like that. I think that's a good foundational start for negotiations.
Yeah, well, and it's a great incentive, like you said, to actually work for it, hustle for it, and actually be a contributor to society. Here, last question for you, Chris. We got just a couple minutes before we have to wrap up here on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. But being part of Border Patrol, being that chief, and seeing one thing I learned when I was at the border and I met you last summer was that immigration policy and border security are essentially two separate issues, which sometimes they kind of get lumped together, and we have to address them individually to make sure that both are actually running smoothly. When it comes to Border Patrol, one of the things that you had mentioned before was that you don't get essentially the consistent rulings from D.C. on how you guys are supposed to operate. The very frustration that you guys have to deal with on a daily basis and what Border Patrol has to deal with regularly because there's inconsistent rules coming down. Is that one of the biggest problems, do you think, right now? Or what is the biggest issue, the lack of resource, lack of money, whatever it is, that Border Patrol needs to actually handle this at the local level on the border to make sure that we continue to don't see what we saw in videos of people running over Border Patrol, jumping fences on a daily basis? What's the biggest thing that you guys struggle with down there?
Well, I think, you know, a couple things you mentioned. First of all, you're absolutely right. Immigration and border security get conflated. We need to separate those, and we need to realize that there is a border security priority for securing America. It is a national security and public safety issue. Yes, immigration's involved, but it's absolutely a public safety, national security. You're seeing it play out, unfortunately, around the country. In regards to policies and directions, it really comes down to, this. Every sector is different. Every sector's requirements and even some of their prosecutorial jurisdictions change, right? Because of different guidelines, 5th districts, 11th, 10th district, 9th districts, all these things change on the southern border. So you have to, you know, there's that inconsistency there where you could prosecute for this, prosecute that. But most importantly, it is about we've got to be able to apprehend everybody that comes in, and we have to prosecute or provide some kind of a consequence. And that's where it's inconsistent across the board, you know, where in some areas we're able to do a lot of different consequences, but in others, because of volume, that, you know, we end up having to catch and release more, or we have to pull resources. It really, again, it kind of goes back to what I was just saying. Every sector has its own set of unique challenges. And if the one thing that would come out of headquarters was says, enforce the laws, provide a consequence, make sure you do everything you can to get every agent out there on the border, securing the border versus, okay, in Yuma, you're going to process and try to get as many people released. Well, Tucson, you guys can do this. San Diego, you do this. That's one of the problems we face is the inconsistency. But it really comes down to this, and the only answer is Washington, D.C. has to get the backbone and start holding source countries accountable and giving the Border Patrol agents the resources to do their job. And that's not happening right now on either side.
Yeah. Give them the resources.
It's kind of a tough question, you know, but we're –
It's
so inconsistent because the border is dynamic and fluid, and every sector is different. So there's not one silver bullet other than just the support and, you know, fortitude out of D.C.
Yeah, support and let them handle it at that local level based on their individual needs. I love it. It's an ongoing problem that we have to address. Chris Clem, former Border Patrol chief, and touring around educating people on the immigration. Chris, it's always good to talk to you, my friend. Appreciate you joining us here on Todd Starnes Show.
You got it. Thank you, Andy.
Hey, always a pleasure. Back after this right here on the Todd Starnes radio program.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
Welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in. Thanks again to Chris Klem coming on the program. What a great guy. I've chatted with him many times on my show, and he's a wonderful individual and a plethora of knowledge that we need to be picking his brain on immigration issues. I want to be very clear as well, because I know that the other side obviously uses this as a political ploy to say that Republicans are racist or Republicans want mass deportation, which Donald Trump has mentioned that he's going to do one of the biggest deportation efforts in the nation's history if he becomes president again. But I want to be very clear, because my local radio cluster that I'm here in the Wichita, Kansas area, we have a Spanish radio station. I talk to them quite a bit, and they've come to me a couple times and said that they were concerned about that for some of their listeners, some of their community. And we got to be very clear that the deportation efforts now, the whole conversation about immigration is not about Hispanic voters, essentially, about Hispanic individuals. They're about all the ones from all over the world, from Africa and from Europe and from the Middle East and from China, that are coming in randomly. That's what we're concerned about. Kind of weird. Lots more coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. Stay here.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. No, it's not Todd Starnes. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes. Today, as he is on the road to majority. You like how that works out? He's headed out to Washington, D.C., the Road to Majority Conference coming up this weekend in D.C. You can find all the information at roadtomajority.com. He'll be out there. He'll be one of the great speakers. He'll be doing a book signing. And, by the way, don't worry, even though he's not on the radio today, he will be doing his Newsmax program this evening live from Washington, D.C., which is kind of awesome. Until then, welcome into it. Hour two of the radio show, the Todd Starnes radio program. Again, Andy Hoosier moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship station and great affiliate for the Todd Starnes radio show, KQAM in Wichita, Kansas. As we continue to
do it live.
Yeah, lots to talk about for sure as well. If you want to jump on, it is a free-for-all and open line Friday. So whatever you want to talk about, we are more than welcome to oblige. And you can mention something hopefully relatively topical, but really you can talk about anything that you want by calling 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926, as we've covered a lot of ground in hour number one. The Republican Party has always been a fascinating party to me, because right now we're kind of going through our civil war, if you want to call it that way. We're going through some growing pains, if you want to call it that way. We're kind of cleaning house, if you want to put it in that perspective. And it seems to be an ongoing fight, but I think we're gaining some traction for sure. Although the vendetta has been laid down, the gauntlet has been laid by some of the elites that are walking away from politics, but yet wanting to go after some of the Republican candidates because they don't like the direction it's going. We'll talk about that with our guest coming up at the bottom of the hour. We did have some primary elections earlier this week, and right now it sounds like there's going to be a recall or a recount on the big election in the state of Virginia, with Bob Good, the House Freedom Caucus chair, that has potentially lost his race by an investment of more than $10 million from former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. What?
Say what?
I know. So if you remember Kevin McCarthy being ousted by 8 Republicans voting against him and booting him out of that speakership, he was so shamed that he didn't even fulfill his duties as a congressman and walked away from the seat at the end of the year in December, and now has created a new PAC to go after those 8 Republicans that tried to oust him and that successfully ousted him, and spending more than $10 million against Bob Good, one of those individuals, and it seems like that one may have worked. Was it worth it? And does that mean that we have a very bitter, angry establishment rhino sect of the Republican Party that's going after us? So we'll talk about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. 901-260-5926. But as we look at the Republican Party in general, and we look at the direction it's going, obviously Donald Trump is the leader of that party, which is why some people don't like that. And I've mentioned this on my local program, my radio program, that if you look at the Republican Party and the difference between where it was in 2016 and where we're at now in 2024, kind of a vast difference, is it not? We had back then, we had the majority in the House, we had the majority in the Senate, we had the presidency, and we could have done so much good. And Donald Trump had so many great ideas. And as you know, Donald Trump, being the type A personality kind of guy that he is, he doesn't like to sit still. He sleeps 2 or 3 or 4 hours a night, maybe. And the media was, you know, going after him for wandering aimlessly around the White House at 2 o'clock in the morning, sending out tweets. Is he mentally okay? Now, Joe Biden works 2 to 3 hours a day. And they're like, oh, he's a great leader. Everything's fantastic. Because that apparently makes a lot of sense now for a fearless leader running the free world. But they went after Donald Trump for that all the way back when. Now, I'd kind of like to see that, someone that actually has that type A personality. But Donald Trump wanted to go, go, go. He wanted to get things done at a very rapid rate. And we couldn't because the Republican Party was our own saboteur, if you know what I mean. So now the party looks vastly different. Ben Sasse, senator from Nebraska, he's gone. Kevin McCarthy's gone. Liz Cheney's gone. Jeff Sessions, you remember him from the state of Arizona, he's gone. John McCain, although kind of a different circumstance there, he's gone. But many of the naysayers are gone, and the Republican Party looks vastly different, giving me at least some a little bit of eternal hope that I have on the fact that if we get the majority in the House and the Senate in the presidency again in this year, which I am optimistic that we can do, that we can actually get something done in a productive manner. It also shows in the polls that we see on what the preference is for the vice presidential picks for Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump says that he's going to officially announce his VP running mate at the RNC convention later on, late summer, early fall. But according to the polls, kind of some interesting names that are on this list right now. And I would love to hear your vice presidential picks, because remember, Trump only has one term if he gets back into office, which means ideally, whoever he chooses as vice president would be the same type of MAGA conservative individual that would be able to carry on the legacy, pick up the torch and run with it for terms 3 and 4, essentially, after the Trump administration. Number two, according to the polls, number one choice by state would be J.D. Vance, the new senator, freshman senator from the state of Ohio, with 27 states having him as their number one choice. Number two, Tim Scott with 12 states. Doug Burgum winning 6 states. Elise Stefanik coming in with 2 states. Tom Cotton with 2 states. And Marco Rubio winning 1 state in these polls. Kind of fascinating. Now, there are other names that were dropped on there as well, including Ben Carson, which I think would be an interesting one. Nikki Haley, probably not going to happen there with the beef that they have between each other. Tulsi Gabbard, which is really fascinating. Candace Owens, illogical, but very interesting. Ron DeSantis, they're starting to mend themselves. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders are some other names that have been dropped as potential vice presidential running mates. But J.D. Vance and Tim Scott, kind of the top two ones, with J.D. Vance dominating these nationwide polls on who's going to potentially be that new fearless leader after Trump is done and who could be his running mate, which is an entirely new generation, an entirely new brand of Republicanism, which is some pretty strong conservatism that I think individuals are craving right now. So it's really interesting to see where the party's going in the direction, which is why so many of the elites, the establishment, the rhinos, whatever you want to call them, are working their way out of politics because they realize it's not the party that they used to know. It's not the Washington, D.C. that they knew before, and they don't like that. I think it's good news for us, but at the same time, it's not very happy for them, which leads us to the presidential campaigns. As you know, we're getting ready for presidential debate number one coming up next week, with the official rules being released, or at least more of the rules being released to the public as of the last day or so. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. not making it. Jill Stein not making it to the debate stage. In fact, she's filed a lawsuit with the FEC trying to say that there's some type of shenanigans to not allow them on the debate stage, but not making those requirements. Last night, I also saw the headline that Donald Trump is also set to have the last word in the debate, which I find really interesting because I'm kind of surprised that they gave him the last word, which is very important because that's the last memory that you have of that debate as people begin to tune out and you wrap things up. Now, obviously, it's going to be a 3-against-1 type of thing. The moderators against Donald Trump, Joe Biden against Donald Trump, and he's got his hands full, but he's kind of ready for it. While Donald Trump's in preparation, which is not a whole lot of preparation because he just kind of goes off the cuff, Joe Biden, on the other hand, has one last chance to salvage his presidency and salvage his campaign, according to Democrat experts that are ready to bump him out and change up the ticket before their DNC convention coming up.
And Van, how big of a moment is this for the president? I mean, I talked to folks in the Biden world, Democratic Party, and they say this is a hugely important moment for the president.
This is the entire election, as far as I'm concerned. The entire world will be watching. There, if you are a carbon-based life form, you're going to be watching. If you've got a functioning brainstem, you're going to be watching. Because if Biden goes out there and messes up, it's game over. If he walks out of there and a week later he's lower in the polls, it's panic in the party. But if he goes in there and he can handle himself against Donald Trump, a runaway train, a locomotive, a raging bull, then this guy deserves another shot to be president, because that is tough. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. If you can stand toe-to-toe with a runaway train like Donald Trump for an hour and a half, you are fit to be president, period, point blank. This is the whole presidency in a bottle in a week.
Wow, that was Van Jones on CNN. This is it. I mean, if you watch this presidential debate, this is the entire election right now. Either it's a make-or-break moment for Joe Biden. Could they bump him off the ticket? Do you think he's going to bring the double-barrel guns here, ready to be locked and loaded, ready to go? How many steroids are going to have to jack him up with? I'm not quite sure. But this is the make-or-break from Joe Biden. And according to Van Jones, every carbon-made individual is going to be watching this debate, because this is the entire thing right now. Which leads us to, if we're going to watch it, we have to be prepared, right? Now, there's always like the drinking games and fun things you can do during the debate. I personally need to have a mental preparation to understand what Joe Biden's talking about, right? Because Joe Biden obviously is a very difficult guy to understand, what he's mumbling and when he whispers really loud, and then he starts yelling and then he whispers very dramatically. But I guess he's very good at that. But I need my way to understand Joe Biden. Now, for those that may be relatively new to listening to me as I fill in for Todd Starnes, I do some different audio bits, and I know Todd enjoys his satire bits and comedy skits on this program. I make my own as well, and I made one recently that I think all of us need to have during the presidential debate next week so we can properly understand what's really going on. My friends, this is my very own Joe Biden decoder ring.
Hi there, it's me again, your Voice of Reason spokesperson, and I'm here to tell you about another great product from the Voice of Reason. It's that time of year again to take a look at the political candidates and what they stand for. But more times than not, it may be a bit difficult to understand them. After all, what's better than dementia-ridden candidates that forget what office they hold? I mean, it's all about the experience and lack of productivity, right? But don't worry, we can help. Introducing the Voice of Reason's all-new Biden Decoder Ring.
I can't wait to vote for Joe Biden. He's the perfect leader for America, but sometimes it's hard to know exactly what he's trying to say.
Just slide on your official Biden Decoder Ring and let our latest patent technology translate any official Joe Biden speech, giving you peace of mind that the country is in safe hands.
So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and in a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who runs the brings out the carts on a forklift. What happens? They make you management.
The economy sucks and inexperienced workers are becoming managers because no one wants to work anymore.
Oh, wow, that's what he's saying? I feel better already. Thanks, Joe Biden Decoder Ring.
Your decoder ring is stylish and has more than 30 voices available to make sure you stay in your safe space while listening to the leader saving democracy.
I couldn't wait to try my Joe Biden decoder ring. I've been waiting by the mail all day, and as soon as it came, I slipped it right on, and now I understand every speech.
And it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again.
I like to be around kids in the pool and my wife forgot to shave my legs for me today. I think I need a new Depends. Can you help?
OMG, that makes so much more sense now. Thanks, Joe Biden Decoder Ring.
Order your Joe Biden decoder ring now and be informed this election year.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
I don't know where I am right now. Can I have an ice cream?
But wait, there's more. Order your decoder ring now and get our all-new aviator goggles absolutely free. See the world through the lens of Joe Biden.
After I put on my Joe Biden aviator goggles, I felt so confident, I wasn't even embarrassed when I tripped up my stairs. And now, the world makes so much more sense to me. I shook hands with my toaster and even fell off my bike, but I look cool doing it, all with my aviator goggles.
Get your Joe Biden decoder ring and your Joe Biden aviator goggles. Available now with the Voice of Reason.
There it is. That way you need that. That way you can properly understand what's going on during that debate next week. Debate number one between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Got to take a break. Your thoughts on that and more. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926 on an open line Friday. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Right back after this. Welcome back to it. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program, 901-260-5926. If you want to jump on for an open line Friday, whatever's on your mind, we'd love to chat about. I want to tell you about my friends over at BackyardButchers.com. Here's the crazy part. I live in Kansas. I'm right in the middle of the country here as we move the Liberty University studios out here to KQAM in Wichita, Kansas. And we have a lot of cattle ranchers. That's like, you know, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, Wyoming, you know, the Dakotas. There's a lot of cattle around here, which means there's a lot of beef. And I'm all about the right beef and steak and ribs and so on and so forth. However, did you know that the vast majority of your grocery store's meat is actually imported from other countries? Kind of wild. Yeah, we're like one of the biggest meat exporters in the world, and yet we don't even eat a lot of our own beef right here in the great U.S. of A. Very little times do you actually see a product of the USA sticker on some of the meat that you buy at the grocery store. But that's not the case with BackyardButchers.com. They're a Christian conservative Texas-based company that's dedicated to delivering the best deals in the market on high-quality beef. And when you order, your box includes all born and raised American beef from ranchers right here in the heartland of the country. BackyardButchers.com, delivering American raised and harvested meat from right here in the American backyards to dinner tables all over the nation. And you can order some of that right now. Go to BackyardButchers.com and save an extra 20% right now off your entire order by using Todd's promo code Todd. And when you subscribe, you get an additional 10% off along with free shipping. That's kind of a deal right there.
Say what?
Heck yeah, it is. Promo code Todd. You also get the free shipping with that additional 10% when you subscribe. Go to BackyardButchers.com/Todd. Again, BackyardButchers.com/Todd. As we look at this election the numbers, it's all about fundraising and that PR. I've always said that there are two things that make you popular in politics and successful in politics, which is a good PR team and a lot of money. And right now it's all about that fundraising for a lot of these presidential candidates. Right now the National Republican Congressional Committee, according to the NRCC, their own website, has announced a record-shattering $12.6 million for the month of May alone. Now, that money goes to not necessarily the presidency, but it goes to other down-ballot tickets across the nation. This goes to, for those that may not know, it goes to what Mitch McConnell actually tries to run right now, where in the last election, we could have probably had a majority in the Senate if he would have appropriated that money in the right way, which was in the state of Alaska, in the state of Arizona. We probably were able to flip a couple of those seats, but he thought that they were lost causes and didn't spend that money in the places that we needed to do so. Now, Donald Trump, like the dog and the boss that he is, ended up going to D.C. last week, meeting with the NRCC, and along with the House members, to talk about what elections to focus on, what candidates to prioritize on, and where to spend the money for these races to make sure that we have a majority going into 2025. And with a record-shattering $12.6 million just for the month of May alone, shows that we're on the right track here. That means that donors, many multimillionaires and billionaires getting on and endorsing Donald Trump recently as well over the past few days, spending money not with just Trump, where he's, you know, shattering records every time that he gets in trouble with the law again, you know, crashing his website with $50 million in campaign funds coming in 24 hours after his 34 felony convictions. But they're actually spending money with the National Republican Congressional Committee, which is kind of an important thing for them to do to make sure that we can take back the Senate as they continue to focus on certain races. And it's encouraging to me that we're doing it without Mitch McConnell being at the head seat when he's probably going to fall asleep or freeze up during the conversation anyways. Maybe we can actually prioritize on conservatives, which is kind of nice to do. The Todd Starnes radio program comes back right after this. Stay right here. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in. You can find Todd's all information at toddstarnes.com, toddstarnes.com. You can find the live stream. You can find podcasts, find all the information. Again, he's on the road today. He's heading out to the Road to Majority Conference in Washington, D.C. this weekend. He'll be one of the great speakers. He'll be doing his book signing with his latest book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Even though he's not on the radio today, just a reminder, he will be doing his Newsmax program this evening live from Washington, D.C., which is really awesome. All the information you can find at toddstarnes.com. If you want more information on the conference that he's heading to, you can go to roadtomajority.com. I'm Andy Hoosier. I'm filling in for you today, which you can find my website at HoosierReason.com, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason, HoosierReason.com, with all the radio stations that I'm on. It's my program for my weekday and my weekend national program that I do. And hailing from Wichita, Kansas, a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio show here at the KQAM studios, my flagship right here in the center of the country. As we look at the elections, we mentioned the NRCC breaking some records, getting some nice fundraising in, which is good to hear. The problem is we seem to be our own worst enemy sometimes as Republicans, are we not? It's been an ongoing battle, and we're getting better. Again, look at the difference between the makeup of the Republican Party in 2016 compared to now in 2024. A lot of the establishment, a lot of the rhinos, a lot of the wishy-washy types have kind of ousted themselves. If they weren't voted out, they kind of walked off on their own because and they've made open statements. It's not the same Washington, D.C. anymore. It's not the same party anymore. I don't like the way things are going. And for us, that's like, hey, that's a win there. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. We don't want the same party that just goes with the flow and does whatever Democrats do. We don't want to be scared of our own shadow anymore, and we don't want to just cave when Democrats threaten of government shutdowns or anything evil to where the media says that we're all going to die because of the Republicans being the fringe right that's just not allowing progress in D.C.
We're all going to die because of you!
Yeah, we're kind of done with that mindset. So as we see the ousting of many of them, again, Liz Cheney and Ben Sasse and Kevin McCarthy, and McCarthy kind of walking off on his own, he's turned around and hasn't just gone away and just faded off into the darkness, kind of like what we were hoping to do. But instead, he's turned around and he has now flared up again the virus that is within the Republican Party, which is our inner bickering and our civil war with the rhino establishments versus a lot of these conservative or MAGA movement individuals, or whatever you want to call them. As he pledged, when he left, he pledged that he would start a super PAC and that he would go after the eight Republicans that ousted him from the speakership, because that was his calling. He was due. He had put in his time. He was demanding. That was his time. He was due to be Speaker of the House, and obviously didn't last very long. One of the first speakers in a very long time to actually be ousted by eight Republicans and the Democrats. Well, he did it. He raised a lot of money. He spent a lot of money, and it seems to be working. As we looked at some of the primaries that happened earlier this week, we're still watching the election in the great state of Virginia with House District Number 5, where Bob Good, the chair for the House Freedom Caucus, essentially, is one of the eight that voted against Kevin McCarthy And one of them right now that's desperately trying to hang on for his seat that may be losing it. In fact, he's losing right now. It sounds like they will be doing an official recount of it, but they, according to, what is this, NBC News right now, 96% of the count vote is actually officially in. And Good is down to the challenger, McGuire. That was funded by Kevin McCarthy in the sum of near like $10 million plus to make that campaign happen. That he's down right now, Good's down by roughly 300, 400 votes. 50.3% to 49.7%. So it will be close. They will do a recount, but it's not looking good for this one. Why? Because it sounds like a McCarthy vendetta. Going after those evil Republicans that voted him out and not just going with the flow. What does that mean for the Republican Party? And was it really worth it to do something like that? Talking about that, really happy to have on the program as we go back to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines here on the Todd Starnes radio program, writing a piece on this and more, commentary writer for the Washington Examiner. Happy to have on Mr. Jeremiah Poff. Jeremiah, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really great to have you on the program. Appreciate it very much. It's wild to actually think that we would see this type of retribution from the Republican Party and the ego that was damaged by Kevin McCarthy to actually raise and spend this much money to oust Republicans because he got his ego hit. I mean, that takes the civil war within the Republican Party to another level, doesn't it?
I mean, listen, all you got to do is go back to that first speaker fight at the beginning of the 118th Congress, where Kevin McCarthy was sitting there and they were, you know, they had gone through 15 ballots and he's like rolling his eyes and mocking Matt Gaetz and Bob Good and all these other holdouts to the point where they eventually just said, okay, we'll vote president and you can be speaker, but we're going to hold you to a tight leash. Kevin McCarthy never forgave that group for that. And then when they ousted him 8 months, 9 months later, it was war. It was game on. And, you know, this is a personal vendetta for him. He felt entitled to that job and to lose it was too much for him. And that's why he resigned from Congress. And now he's trying to get rid of everybody who forced him out of the position. And he failed the first time with Nancy Mace, and in part because Trump endorsed Nancy Mace.
Yeah.
But this time with Bob Good in the Virginia 5th District, he got Trump to endorse John McGuire, and he's basically put this. It looks like Bob Good is in a lot of trouble right now. I mean, obviously the race has yet to be called. There's still some vote that hasn't been counted yet, but it's not looking good for Bob Good. And at the end of the day, it's McCarthy got his man in this case.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, he took it to that other level. Is it worth? Here's the bigger question, which is what you write about in your piece. Is it worth the investment that McCarthy did of a sum of near $10 million to get him out? I mean, I get it. That vendetta must be really deep driven with that personal retribution here. But is it worth it to spend that much money just to spite these individuals? Like, to me, I'm not a spiteful kind of person, so I might be angry that someone booted me out like that. But you know what? If that's the will of the people and the representation of Americans by their elected official, like, okay, fine, I'll just go and serve some other way. But to go out of your way to sabotage your own party in that way, like, that's another level, man.
Kevin McCarthy likes to play himself up as a team player. He's like, I'm here for the party. I'm not here for myself. He talked about that constantly throughout his time as Republican leader in the House, as Speaker, and even right after he was ousted, he kept saying, he's like, I'm doing this for the good of the party. I'm you know, but I mean, as you pointed out, he spent $10 million to oust an incumbent representative who had no danger of losing his election in November. He spent $10 million on this race. It's absurd. It's a colossal waste of money and resources in a presidential election cycle that we have that is going to be very competitive. And we already have a bearskin majority in the House as it is. That money could have been much better spent in other more competitive races that would have been spent against Democrat candidates, and or even in the presidential race.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just talked about in the last segment, we talked about the NRCC having a great month of May with like $12 million coming in. They're outpacing themselves for what they projected. They're beating Democrats with the DNCC with their fundraising goals for some of these down ballot tickets in Senate races and House races across the nation. So Republicans are doing well. That money, that's a lot of money. $10 million is almost all of what they raised for the NRCC for the month of May alone. That could be applied to helping Republicans, I don't know, win elections in some districts, both the Senate or the House side, that are up in the air in purple districts around the nation for the general election. But instead, we feel like beating ourselves up and actually wasting it in a primary because we're that spiteful. That, to me, just it blows my mind of how crazy that actually is. So you had mentioned Nancy Mace already, which was able to survive this one with the Trump endorsement. What are your thoughts on some of these other races that could potentially be up in the air? I mean, are we concerned about some of these other ones losing too?
Well, I think a couple of them have already left Congress. So Ken Buck, you know, who kind of went his own way, resigned from Congress back in March. So he's gone already. And Matt Rosendale from Montana, he said that he's not running for reelection. So you already have two of the eight are already gone. With good, that makes three. The real one that I'm watching at this point is Matt Gaetz' primary, and I think it's in August. And I think it's the Florida 1st Congressional District, which is the Panhandle area. That Matt Gaetz was the ringleader for all this, and he and Kevin McCarthy hate each other. There's no question about that. And I mean, to McCarthy's credit, and I'm not normally one to give him credit for something like this, but there's a lot to believe that Gaetz ousted McCarthy for personal reasons, and fine, whatever, you know, you can have your reasons for not wanting to be leader. You can, you have the influence you have, fine. The problem with McCarthy's facing here is that Gaetz is one of Trump's most loyal supporters and Trump really likes him. So I would be very surprised if Matt Gaetz loses his primary in 2 months. But you never know. I think McCarthy's going to spend a lot of money to try to get rid of him. Another one that I think could be might be a little bit of trouble is Eli Crane in Arizona. He's a first term representative, so he hasn't been around for very long. And to go up against a machine like Kevin McCarthy could be a little bit of a problem for him.
Yeah.
Again, he hasn't really rocked the boat in terms of Trump world at this point. So Trump could swoop in and endorse him as well. The thing that I think doomed Bob Good here is that early on in the primary last year for the presidential race, he endorsed Ron DeSantis. And I think that was able to help McCarthy convince Trump to endorse John McGuire in this race. So, you know, we'll see if McCarthy's able to knock off any of his other chosen enemies, but I think that Good was the easiest pickings at this point. I don't know if you'll be able to get another one.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. We're talking with Jeremiah Poff, a writer for the Washington Examiner. You can see all his latest pieces, including this one here with Kevin McCarthy, and was it really worth spending all of this type of money? Let's go a little bit deeper here, and let's look at the actual voters that are involved in these districts, and obviously having to spend $10 million to go after Good in this election in Virginia and having it such a narrow razor thin. I've always said there's two things that make you successful in politics, which is a good PR team and a lot of money, and obviously that played out in this one because the PR was probably covering that entire district very heavily and doing it in a fashion with all the money that they invested into trying to oust Bob Good. So the mentality of the voters here, is this a sign that there are still some districts that aren't quite on board with the conservative Freedom Caucus, the Donald Trump, quote-unquote, MAGA movement, that are able to be influenced back to the old guard style of Republicanism? Or was it straight manipulation of the election because of how much money they spent? And we shouldn't really take that in consideration that we're concerned about a MAGA movement kind of waffling right now going into the last home stretch for the election.
I think really the problem here is you're seeing a lot of Republicans who really have never been on board with the MAGA movement and the Trump, you know, presidency and the Trump, you know, the Trump-led Republican Party are using Trump as a cover to stay in power because they're banking on the fact that Trump's not going to be around forever, but they will be, and they can, you know, play lip service to him now. and Trump will be like, you know, will support them in their primaries and in their general election races. But as soon as he's gone, they don't have to worry about him, and they can go back to the old ways of doing things. And when it comes to policy, they're still doing things the old way. So I really think it's a personality thing, not so much a policy issue. A lot of people want to support the candidates that Trump supports. And so if Trump comes out and endorses these candidates, you know, that's a big boost. And, you know, but at the same time, a lot of these people are not on board with Trump's agenda, and they're actively there to sabotage it.
Yeah, well, they want to go back to the old ways. Like you said, they want the smoke-filled rooms, the cigar smoke-filled rooms in the back where they come up with all their deals, and then we don't hear about them until the very end, and then it's the Fast and Furious, and then we, like Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass it to see what's in it. We just want to kind of go with the flow in D.C., and that's why we're seeing, as we mentioned, a lot of the establishment type of candidates walking away because they've been frustrated with not getting back to that because Donald Trump kind of blew the doors wide open, and it hasn't been the same in Washington, D.C., and the Republicans don't know how to act that way. Democrats are just delusional. They just don't even know what's going on. They think that it's that way, and we're seeing right through it now, and they're kind of shocked and awed and don't understand that things are different in D.C. Last question for you, Jeremiah. We got just about a minute left here, but are you optimistic going into the general election for what you've seen and how you're tracking outside of the primaries, the momentum between Republicans, Democrats going to the general election for the presidency and the down ballot ticket? Is there an opportunity right now for Republicans to win the majority in both? Do you think?
I think there is. And I think a lot of that has to do with Trump. I think Trump's going to, you know, motivate the voters. He's the biggest driver of turnout that the party has ever seen. And I think, you know, that's going to be a huge, huge X factor come November. And, you know, it could be the reason that John Tester goes home in Montana and Sherrod Brown goes home in Ohio and we flip control of the Senate and, you know, expand the majority in the House potentially. And, you know, I think polling in the presidential race is showing that, you know, Biden's in trouble, and not just the regular swing states, but in a few other states too, like Virginia, which he won by 10 points 4 years ago, and Minnesota, another state he won by, I think, 11 points. So, you know, if Trump could put those states in play, you know, you could see a real red wave kind of crash all over the country from coast to coast.
Wouldn't that be nice? Man, the eternal optimism, I love it. And I'm excited. I'm optimistic as well. I think that we could do very well in this race. Jeremiah Poff, you can check him out with all his writings at the Washington Examiner. Jeremiah, thanks you so much for coming on the Todd Starnes radio program. Would love to chat again soon.
Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate it. That's again Jeremiah Poff with the Washington Examiner on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Got one more segment. We'll take some phone calls when we come back on an open line Friday here on the Todd Starnes radio show. Stay here. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Fascinating conversation with Jeremiah Poff with the Washington Examiner, learning about some of the bitter rivalries within the Republican Party. Very fascinating there. Want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Obviously, we've just gone through a couple big holidays with Memorial Day, with D-Day in the past few weeks. But did you know that you can support our military, veterans, and first responders by just using your cell phone? Kind of a wild concept. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They're an example of putting the cause ahead of profits, and that's why we're proud to partner with them here on the Todd Starnes radio show. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage that you're used to on a daily basis while giving back to heroes all at the same time. What a concept, right? When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnel to Towers, Boots for Warriors, Helping a Hero, Warrior Rising, and so many others. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching very easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or you can also upgrade as well if you want to. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd right now. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use that promo code Todd. Join me and let's make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT with Patriot Mobile. All right, when we come back, hour number three around the corner. We have lots more to get to with a few of these other big issues. To wrap this one up, though, Kevin McCarthy really shows his character. And you can always judge someone's character based on their actions, right? And when you leave, first off, when you leave office before your time's done just because you're angry and you're kind of, you know, licking your wounds, I get it. Like, it's like a UFC fighter that cancels his fight contract because he lost a fight and he doesn't want the shame of having an L on his record. That's kind of where we're at with Kevin McCarthy. He'd rather walk away from his duty to serve his district early because he lost the district, and then takes it to another level, flaring up our internal battle of the GOP again and spending millions of dollars on his opponents because he doesn't like them, as opposed to focusing on Democrats. That shows a real lack of character there, doesn't it? Lots more coming up. Stay here.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Program. What's up? Happy Friday, man. It is the end of the week. Pat yourself on the back. TGIF. You scream ice cream, we all scream for ice cream. I know that's what Joe Biden likes, is ice cream for sure. like what we did there, see? Welcome into it. It's hour number three. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes. Todd, thank you so much for allowing me to always jump on here and fill in for you when you get an opportunity. And the entire team, I love the entire team with you is awesome. This is fantastic. Always a lot of fun. Appreciate it very much. If you want to jump in, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926 on an open line Friday as we move the Liberty University Studios out here to my flagship station at KQAM Radio in Wichita, Kansas. And it's always great to do that. So Todd is on the road. He is heading out to Washington, D.C. for the Road to Majority Conference, which you can find online, roadtomajority.com. He'll be speaking there. He'll also be doing his book signing with his new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Now, for those that want to see his TV show, he will be on his Newsmax TV program this afternoon. So you can check that out on Newsmax, too. It will be live from D.C., and that's it. So he's just traveling during the day here, so we got it covered for the day. 901-260-5926. All right, I did not know that you could just create terms out of the blue. I take that back. I knew that you could create terms out of the blue, but in the media, the Democrats, the left, they're experts at this, man. I didn't know what this actually meant because they just kind of come up with things on the fly. And I always use this analogy for the Democrats and for the progressives and even for just elites in general on either side of the aisle, that they are the ultimate type of spoiled children that if they don't get what they want, they lose their absolute minds. They get angry, man.
We're all going to die because of you.
They just get angry. So they're essentially, remember as a kid, and I've had friends like this back in the day when I was a child, it was very frustrating. But remember the kid that were like, you would sit down and play like a board game. And when they start to lose the board game, they change the rules of the game in the middle of the game to make sure that they win because they don't like to lose. And if they do lose, then by golly, I'm going to pack up my board game and I'm going to go home because I'm done playing with you. Well, that's kind of what we're at right now. And while the cracks of the foundation are starting to break in the Biden administration, and by cracks of the foundation, there's not really much of a foundation in the first place, but that's what we're going for here. We'll just go with it. That they're desperately trying to find ways to defend Joe Biden while he, you know, tries to sit in imaginary chairs and he freezes and people have to walk him off stage. And we see the video. It's evident. It's right there before our eyes. And when asked about it, the media, Karine Jean-Pierre, the press spokesperson for the White House, has to find ways to ignore the issue, which is totally going to work out for another four-year plan if they get in the White House. But they have to ignore the plan because it's not good publicity. So they just come up with new rules of the game.
Is an old man, of course. There's a narrative that Joe Biden is an old man, of course. And I'm not disputing that he's not 81 years old. But
we are going to separate the fact from the fiction. Because there are a lot of videos going around about President Biden on social media.
These videos, I mean, they're blatant lies.
They are lying to their audience.
Making up and distorting things about the current president.
Trying to get people to believe visuals that aren't real.
The videos are oftentimes made up.
Deceptively edited videos known as cheap fakes.
A cheap fake. At least that's what the White House calls this viral video of President Biden.
The White House says there's a cheap fake problem.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes. Videos of real events that are intentionally manipulated.
We're hearing about so-called cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes.
Distorted, out of context videos. Videos chopped up in certain ways, constructed in certain ways.
Look at him. Look at Biden. It is not true. He was fine. but they are creating this narrative.
The technology is just going to get more and more efficient at making these videos look more and more real when they're really not.
There it is. There it is. It is now the trigger word. It is the cheap fake. That is the latest trigger to just deny what's really going on, what we're seeing before our eyes. The ultimate narcissism in society. Hey, I know that you think grocery prices are higher, but they're really not. These aren't the droids you're looking for, which is kind of what we're at today. By the way, that video you can find on the Tweety at Newsbusters with the Media Research Center. They put that collage together. And to talk about that and more with Newsbusters is the managing editor for Newsbusters and with the Media Research Center. Really happy to have on here Curtis Haukett with us. Curtis, how are you, my friend?
Good to be with you, Andy.
Yeah. Appreciate you jumping on. I appreciate that. I love how they can just come up with this word cheap fake, because now we see it. Curtis, we see the videos. We see him freezing. We see him stuttering. We see him being walked off stage. But again, that's not really happening. These aren't the droids you're looking for. It's just a cheap fake. I don't even know what that means.
Right, exactly. So first of all, I mean, this is raw, unedited, not airbrushed video. I mean, you're taught, or at least you should be taught in, like, middle school English class, that you should use primary sources when writing a story. And I thought, I was told, and I was brought up, to go straight to the source. So in this case, we're talking about Joe Biden's speeches that air on C-SPAN, okay, or the White House YouTube channel, okay? We're not going to a journalist. Summation of events. We are watching the speech ourselves, and we are seeing one thing, and then the esteemed journalists supposing writing up summations of said event say, no, this did not happen. So that's point number one. That's pretty crazy. Number two, it's interesting to see the evolution that the press and the White House have taken from this. When these gaffes really started happening, let's just start with when Joe Biden became president. It went from like denial, because I watched the White House press briefing for Newsbusters, and they'd be asked about these from time to time. Jen Psaki, Karine Jean-Pierre, whomever was at the podium would start with, they'd ignore it. And then also, you know, among media defenders, they would also mention his stutter, and they would say, or they would also say, well, the president meant this, but now they're going with this cheap fix thing. Initially, I thought last week this was Karine Jean-Pierre just stumbling her way through, because she actually is very good at her job, because she's a good reflection of her boss, Joe Biden, because both struggle with the English language. But then, you know, and we also thought maybe this was focus grouped. But no, I'm here to tell you, my friend John Hassan on Twitter, Son of Haas on Twitter, noted that this actually came from a woman named Joan Donovan in 2019. She was a former disinformation expert at Harvard who more or less got canned by Harvard because she's too much of a hack. Can you believe that? She wrote a book called The Meme Wars that more or less said memes and other like pithy slogans and graphics are like the bane of our existence and going to cause our democracy to fall apart. So therefore, we need a internet structure like they have in China. And they would use the 1996 Communications Act to create like a social credit score kind of nonsense. So that's who they've stooped to find this term.
It's wild. It's the ultimate gaslighting, which is kind of entertaining. And you're right. I mean, Karine Jean-Pierre is the master at being able to deflect. I mean, she's very clear. She wants to be very clear, and she's very clear about the position of the White House and Biden, about being very clear about not wanting to go there and actually answer the question, which is her entire trigger word.
She's the epitome of Michael Scott. She's like, sometimes I just start a sentence, and I don't know where I'm going, and I just hope to find it along the way.
There is that.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I just don't want to go there. I'm not going to go there today. But we've been very clear about not wanting to go there, which is wild. It is so different. I mean, it's obviously the cheap fake versus the fake news and the deep fake, which is what they were concerned about at the very beginning. Because, I mean, it all started, I guess, under the Trump administration when he would talk about fake news. I mean,
you are fake news.
I mean, he would go after the mainstream all the time. But now it's apparently the difference between a cheap fake and a deep fake. I mean, when the Biden administration came out early on in the campaign, they were talking about artificial intelligence, and they said they have lawyers standing by because anything that may surface that shows him in a negative light is going to be artificial intelligence, is going to be fake news, and that they were prepared to do lawsuits. Do you think this is the blending of that, of just like, hey, I know you saw it on C-SPAN, but it didn't really happen. It's just AI-generated stuff just makes us look bad, and therefore we're going to go after it and try and silence it. Is that what we're up against this election?
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, you saw this. There was a CBS News segment that said the video with the G7 was digitally altered. Digitally altered. I don't really understand how that really works. A friend of mine, Amber Duke, pointed out when I was with her on Fox News at night this week that, like, that the White House, in the case of the Obama, grabbing of the hand and guiding him off stage, the White House then released its own version claiming that the video was digitally altered. Their version was from like 1,000 feet away, like really far away. And so the depth perception was completely different, you know, whereas the video in question, the one that was being circulated, was from much closer to the stage. So you could kind of see the change in the pivot of direction. This is exactly what we're doing. NBC News last night and this morning have been complaining that the Biden administration has yet to unveil a, you know, very specific formulated strategy to their liking to combat disinformation in this election in a story about deepfakes. And that's really concerning. You know, right now at MRC, at Newsbusters, if you visit our site, our number one story is 7 federal agencies pushing big tech to censor Americans. And it's not just like Department of Homeland Security, you know, censoring Americans instead of controlling the border, or HHS, like we all know with what happened with COVID, but it's the Treasury Department, the State Department, the Justice Department, even the Pentagon is being weaponized to go after Americans. So while you like people like Nina Jankowicz, and it's fun to make fun of people like that because they really are that ridiculous, there's a lot of people that are still in good standing and working inside the government with those same viewpoints that aren't idiots on their personal social media accounts.
Yeah. Well, at least there are some that are trying to actually bring it out. We're talking with Curtis Hauck. He's the managing editor from Newsbusters with the Media Research Center. You can find him online. Also find him on the Tweety at Newsbusters. And you can see that video and others. You had mentioned a lot of this technology trying to censor some of this. Google had announced going into the European elections just about a couple weeks ago or a month ago, whenever it was, that Google had tried a new bit of, I guess you could call it, censorship called pre-bunking, where instead of debunking a story to try and actually shoot it down afterwards and prove it's not real and that it was a piece of fake news, they were going to do pre-bunking by the algorithm filtering it, censoring it, and deciding whether it was worthy to be up on the Google algorithm or not, whether it was actually factual or unfactual, which is what the government's trying to do as well. And we know that they've been in cahoots with big tech and social media and Google for the past couple election cycles to try and censor some of this content. Is that a concern going into this election? Because it seems like it's already starting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think about it. My colleague Jorge Bonilla came up with this. This is the new Hunter Biden laptop. Really? Yeah. That's what these videos are. And that's what this pre-bunking strategy is. That's really kind of what they did with Hunter Biden's laptop. You know, the moment you heard Hunter Biden and laptop in the same sentence, people were being suspended left and right. I was one of those people that was suspended for just sharing the article from the New York Post. So that's really where we are at this point. Not only do we have to fight back in all these different measures civically, it's really also incumbent upon people that if you value sites like Newsbusters, if you value shows like this one, it's important to know what you're looking for. And it sounds very boomerish, but this is why bookmarks exist, because you can bookmark them and you can save them. So when you log on, you know, you're not just filtering through Google News, which is filled with aggregated articles from all these liberal sites that they want you to stick to. Because this is the way these people, they are so dangerous at this point. And MSNBC very frequently on Nicole Wallace's show, you know, former George W. Bush official. So this isn't entirely surprising. She and her guests very often view MAGA as like the new Al-Qaeda. They've talked frequently about the need for a new 2020s version of the Patriot Act on conservative Americans. So this is what we are up against. Okay. So it's just very incumbent upon knowing what you're dealing with in terms when you log onto these social media platforms and you're not seeing the news that you are looking for. I think people should just be very, very careful and just know when you're being spun.
Well, it really goes into go into everything and assume that it's not information until you actually can validate it. And you have your trustworthy news sources, obviously, with the Media Research Center and Newsbusters, what you guys have. You're going right to the source and just relaying it on. And that's what we have to do nowadays because there's so much weird information out there and they're trying to confuse the heck out of us. And it's going to be interesting to see how many people actually fall for this and how many people just believe in the whole concept of cheap fake now, which is hilarious. Curtis Houck with Newsbusters and Media Research Center. Find them online. Find the video on the Tweety, and you can see all this. It's fascinating stuff. Curtis, we appreciate the time very much, my friend. Let's do it again real soon, brother.
Absolutely. Thanks, gang.
Hey, love it. There it is. Curtis Houck with Managing Editor for Newsbusters on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. There it is. Do you believe the concept of cheap fake? Is MSNBC or is CNN or is C-SPAN even? Just the straight-up feed from Washington, D.C., is C-SPAN actually giving you cheap fake and digitally altered video so that way you think that Joe Biden's in worse position than what he actually is? 901-260-5926. We'll get your phone calls when we come back.
America's election headquarters, the Todd Starnes Show.
Welcome back to it, Todd Starnes Radio Program. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes today. A fascinating conversation with Curtis Houck with the Media Research Center and Newsbusters. It really brings up the fascinating conversation about technology and big tech and how they're going to censor and how much of a role it's going to play in the elections this year. And it's going to be a role not just during election season, but how you and I are able to actually find factual information, because right now we have a war on your minds. Can you imagine? We have literally intentioned fake information out there to mislead people on both sides of the aisle, whether it's Russia propaganda, whether it's U.S. propaganda from the Biden administration or big governments or whatever. And then when there is legitimate, real information out there, then they call it fake and they call it like this cheap fake. So now you don't know what to do. The good stuff that's right is called wrong, and the stuff that's wrong is called right, and we don't know what's really going on here, and it's just a complete fiasco. We don't know what to trust on the internet anymore, which I think is why a lot of people are just starting to turn off the interweb and just go to what they know and use their common sense. My radio show is called The Voice of Reason because we like to just, is it reasonable, is it commonsensical, and does it make sense in society today? But with so many people on social media, I mean, look, again, I'm 35. I'm a millennial. I was the last generation to have my childhood with no type of technology. I was playing outside. I was playing in the mud. I was going hunting. I was having a great time. I was not behind a computer screen until about high school, when everything started to be a big deal. Middle school, high school is when everything started. Late elementary or middle school is when we started doing our typing classes. And I remember the big old computers, the Gateway 8 or whatever those were called. Remember those? I mean, the computers were there, but they weren't as mainstream. Now, my daughter, who just turned 10 a couple weeks ago, she has never experienced a life without technology. Now, I don't give her a tablet. I don't give her an iPad. She doesn't have a phone, which is very rare because all of her friends do, and she doesn't know why she can't get a phone, but I'm not giving it to her. At the same time, it really brings up the conversation, which may be controversial, and you may disagree with me on this one, but this is why I think it's absolutely important to have all of these social media sites available to us, including the controversial TikTok. And the reason I say that, Andy, is TikTok dangerous with Chinese government? Absolutely it is. But how dangerous is our own government? Our government that's censoring content by Google, that owns YouTube, by the way. So Google and YouTube hand in hand. By Facebook, that in cahoots with our federal government, that censors content, that shadow bans individuals, that screens a lot of our content, that tells us what's right and what's wrong, that only gives us a certain particular narrative. And then when the truth does come out, they call it fake news or cheap fake. There's a lot of misinformation on TikTok as well, but at the same time, it's outside of the government's control, which is why they want to censor it and why I think we need to have it. Lots more coming up here for the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Stay here. Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Program on the home stretch here. Last few minutes, if you want to jump on for a free-for-all Friday, an open line Friday, whatever you want to talk about that's bothering you, itching you, just want to get off your chest, Don't worry, we have it for you. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Todd Starnes back at it on the program on Monday. Also, we'll be doing his Newsmax program this afternoon live from Washington, D.C. He's headed out for the Road to Majority Conference, which you can find online at roadtomajority.com. He'll be out there speaking, doing a book signing for his Twilight's Last Gleaming book, and really excited about that. But then excited to see him back behind the camera tonight for his Newsmax TV program. My name's Andy Hoosier. Always great to fill in. Such an honor. You can find my information at HoosierReason.com. That's H-O-O-S-E-R Reason.com. All of my social media at Hoosier Reason. And you can find my podcast as well at The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier, which is the name of my radio program. I want to tell you about my friends over at MyPillow. Todd's friends over at MyPillow. You might have heard that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of many of their box stores or shopping channels the way that they used to, which as they've been part of the cancel culture, which is what we see from so many big businesses nowadays, that they want to pass the savings directly onto you by going directly to their website and having a, what they're calling now, their $25 extravaganza.
Say what?
Dang straight. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just one product company with the help of his dedicated employees. They now have hundreds of products, some of them that you may not even know about. To get the word out, we want to invite you here on the Todd Starnes radio program and all the listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack of multi-purpose pillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towels, yeah, you guessed it, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, yeah, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows will have all new Giza fabric, again, $25. Order over $75, and you'll receive free shipping on top of that as well. Kind of a big deal, if you know what I'm talking about. That's kind of bigly.
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. That's promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 for MyPillow. Okay, we have a lot. There's some news coming out now. You know, we were expecting this. This is the big one here. Obviously, Todd talked about it on his program yesterday and had a great panel discussion about this, but there is, it was waiting in the shadows, ready to officially announce, but the American Civil Liberties Union has now officially filed or planning and getting ready to file their lawsuit against the state of Louisiana that's now requiring the public schools to display the Ten Commandments. Surprised? Not at all. Now, here's according to their website right now, and this is what they say. Signed into law earlier today by Governor Jeff Landry from House Bill 71 requires schools to display the Ten Commandments in every classroom on, quote, a poster or frame document that is at least 11 inches by 14 inches. The commandments must be the central focus of the display and, quote, printed in a large, easily readable font. According to the bill and according to the ACLU, they say the bill also requires that a specific version of the Ten Commandments, which has been dictated by the state legislature, be used for every display. Displays that depart from this state-sanctioned version of Scripture would violate the Louisiana law. Now, I opened this up to you for the last portion of the program to get your thoughts, because obviously it's a very deep issue. It is a very controversial issue, and there's a lot of different opinions on this one. To demand or to force the Ten Commandments into the classrooms of public schools. The argument that they're using from the ACLU, saying that it's unconstitutional based on religious coercion of students who are legally required to attend school and are thus a captive audience for a school-sponsored religious message. They go on to say that they will also send a chilling message to students and families who do not follow the state's preferred version of the Ten Commandments, that they do not belong and are not welcome in our public schools. As the official quote from the ACLU says this, "We are preparing a lawsuit to challenge House Bill 71. The law violates the separation of church and state and is blatantly unconstitutional. The First Amendment promises that we all get to decide for ourselves what religious beliefs, if any, to hold and practice without pressure from the government. Politicians have no business imposing their preferred religious doctrine on students and families in public schools." Now, take that and take to what Donald Trump said, where he apparently has made his statement last night on his Truth Social site, where in all caps he says, and I got to do it in the Donald Trump voice here, "I love the Ten Commandments in public schools, private schools, and many other places for that matter." All about it. supporting the displaying of the Ten Commandments, saying that this is the first major step for the revival of religion across the nation. Is this a good idea or a bad idea? It's up to you. 901-260-5926. I want to go into the history of where this concept came from, because obviously the ACLU is making the argument of the separation of church and state. And for those that may be history buffs, you may know this, may not know this. So we're going to go down this rabbit hole for just a moment, shall we? What does separation of church and state actually mean? And maybe that would relay on to whether this is a good idea or not. The separation of church and state, those words themselves do not actually fall under the Constitution. There's nowhere in the Constitution that you'll hear the concept of separation of church and state. What we have is the First Amendment, where we have the right to freely express and to practice our religious beliefs without persecution from the government, meaning that there's not a state-sanctioned religion, and meaning that the state does not force a religion on us and that we can practice our religious beliefs however we want to. I mean, that's the whole premise of it. The concept of the separation of church and state was originally a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote and that he wanted to include in there, and then they kind of reworked it, and that's how we came up with what we have in the First Amendment right now for it. Let's go back even further, though. Let's take this back even further to the very beginning. The whole purpose that we started the entire nation, pilgrims coming across the ocean, going across the pond, leaving England because the King of England had essentially started his own church known as the Church of England and forced everybody to believe the same way. And then you had the Protestants, you had the Catholics, you had the Church of England, you had everybody kind of doing their thing. And there was a war going on because it was the government-sanctioned church, and the church essentially had just as much power as the government. They could go and collect taxes. They could go and tell you how to believe. And that's where you got a lot of the witch burnings. That's how you got a lot of people that were ousted, tarred and feathered and ran out of town because they didn't practice a particular way for their religious beliefs. And the pilgrims pretty much said, ha ha, yeah, you're funny, you're cute, but we're going to go our own way and do our own thing, because the premise of any nation has a fundamental God-given right for people to believe and practice any way that they want to whatsoever. And that's why they came over here. Really the foundation of our entire nation off of religious practices and the freedom to practice those thereof. And the fear of the pilgrims and the founding fathers was that we would go down potentially that road of having a government-sanctioned religion saying that this is the one religion that you have to follow and that this is the one way that you have to practice that religion. Because even among, let's say that there's a state-sanctioned religion, or that even 95% of Americans believe in a particular religion, which it's on the decline right now. Christianity, obviously, is still the number one religion in the nation, but it's starting to be on the decline with church membership and other religions that are here. But that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of people being able to practice and believe what they want to do. But even let's say that everybody in the entire nation was a Christian, there's also the different denominations that then have different practices on their interpretation of certain religious texts, on how they actually do their worshiping. Some go and they sing the hymns and they read their Bible verse and that's it, and they just go about their day. Others have a rock concert and they have a grand old time singing about how much they love God. And others like cut the heads off of snakes and like baptize you in the holy fires. Like there's different ways to practice around the country that also leads to different interpretations of stories and different interpretations of messages in the religious texts in the Bibles. So even if we had a unified voice of what religion was the vast majority, we still wouldn't even have a unified message of how to actually practice those. And that was the entire purpose of our foundation of this nation. Now, that being said, that begs the question, should taxpayer funds actually be funding the posting of the Ten Commandments to be easily displayed in all the descriptions and all the details that they have written in this piece of Louisiana? Does that taxpayer funds, should it be actually funding the Ten Commandments to be posted up in public schools? Now, that being said, from the premise of what I just laid out historically, I would say no. Now, do we all need a little bit more God and a little bit more Jesus in our lives because of the crime rates and the lack of morality and the lack of the family unit and the nuclear family? I would say, yeah, I think everybody needs a little bit more God. However you end up practicing that or believing that, I think we all need a little bit more of that in our lives. Church attendance is down, and study after study in history of not just America, but all over the world makes it very clear that as government continues to grow, then people that believe in a higher power of whatever that higher power may or may not be, that they continue to walk away from that higher power and look towards the government to actually solve the problems, right? It's what they do. That's what we've always done, which is why we always end up becoming a secular nation, and it's been shown and proven time and time again. And that's when we see the collapse of the nation, because we look towards man to solve the issue. We don't look towards the strength of the higher power to solve things, or for that higher power to give us the strength to do it ourselves, or whatever you may believe in, however you do that. That we forget that there's a higher power kind of making things happen. And when we turn away from that is when we start to collapse. And we're seeing that before our eyes. We don't read the Bible as a kid, but yet we have the Bible in prison, which I think is a problem. And we need more religion, or at least we need more of a connection with God in our lives on a daily basis. That's my personal thought. You can agree or disagree with that. Does that mean that it should be state sanctioned through taxpayer money to do that? Personally, I would say no. Andy, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean by that. Is that there's, I'm in Wichita, Kansas. There are small towns all around us here. There are small towns here where a large population of our community is very Catholic. And in fact, on Catholic practices on Wednesdays, I think it is. I'm not Catholic, so I don't know. I think it's Wednesdays. The schools actually release early and take the kids out to the churches to do their thing. And if kids don't want to do that, then obviously there's the gym and they can do their extra studies, or they can go and do extra recess or whatever. But those that want to go can actually have the bus drop them off at the church for them to do their practice and do their worship on Sundays. If you remember, and I remember this very clearly as a child, going to the prayer at the pole, where we would go to the flagpole in front of the school a couple times a year and we would pray. And we would pray for whatever, what is going on that time, or just pray for the sake of praying and the health and safety of everyone. I played high school football my senior year, and our high school football coach, this was in Colorado now, my high school football coach was also the principal of our public school. And guess what we did? Probably not looked upon friendly of some on the other side of the aisle, but before every football game, we would kneel down and pray on the football field. And if those that didn't want to attend, they didn't have to attend. If they didn't want to do it, they could step away and just go do their own thing and get ready. But before the game, our head coach, that was the principal of our public school, would kneel down and pray with us, and we could choose whether we wanted to participate or not. The point is, in my opinion, and this may be controversial, but in my opinion, there are other ways that we could promote and encourage spiritual belief, religious belief, putting God back into the front and center here, and do it in other ways than a state-funded program of forcing it in the public schools. Because we need God in our lives. We need, I think, more of an influence on that, and the crime rates and the homelessness and the lack of morality and the divorce rate in the nation and the broken families and the non-nuclear family unit. All of that is an issue, and that's a moral crisis that we have in this nation that's been going on for a very long time. But the question is it should be enforced by the government, or should the religious communities and the home life be promoting it instead by finding other alternatives to keep kids off the streets, to keep them out of trouble, and to instill those moral values into our daily lives on a regular basis? Curious what your thoughts are. Is that off base, or should we be putting it in the school so that way it's front and center for them each and every day? 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. I want to get your thoughts on this. Does this go against the original concept of what the pilgrims came over to do, which is to say you can believe in whatever you want to, and we have the freedom to practice that as long as you're not harming another individual? Does that infringe upon their rights by doing something like this in a public school where our kids are at 6 to 8 hours a day? Would love to hear your thoughts on this. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. One more segment coming up. We'll take your phone calls right after this. Stay here. Welcome back to it. Last segment here on the Todd Starnes radio program. How many people did I trigger on that last conversation? It's a fascinating one. I want to hear your thoughts on it. 901-260-5926, which you want to tie everything into a nice little bow from the program today. Going back to hour one, we talked about the latest Supreme Court decision on guns and the agenda from the Biden administration focusing on Second Amendment issues. Also with the moral crisis going on in the nation that we just talked about in the last segment. Some breaking news happening right now. Not a lot of details, so I'm not going to do any speculation, but there is some big news, according to the New York Post right now, that happened within this last hour, within the hour, so it's relatively fresh, that a mass shooting happening at an Arkansas grocery store in the southeast portion of the state of Arkansas. Multiple people being reportedly injured, 8 individuals, including one police officer, that have been shot near the Mad Butcher at Fordyce, Arkansas, right around noon. That would be, I guess, central time. Just a little bit ago, with 8 people injured, one of them being an officer. And according to the Post, again, not a lot of information right now, but the quote-unquote shootout that involved with law enforcement and the individuals included 2 groups and what they're calling AR-15-style weapons. Oh, my, you know what the media is going to talk about now. Now, again, we don't know any other information, so we can't really speculate on a whole lot. But, I mean, obviously, this is the ongoing conversation we just had about a moral crisis. Look, there are levels of depression right now which is never seen before. We have so many people on pharmaceutical pills. Maybe that's part of it. I don't really know why. You can speculate and make your own assumptions on that one. We have young kids, middle schoolers, where we talk about all these school shootings that happen across the nation, that are fifth graders that are at the level of anxiety, depression, mental health issues. There's a study of fifth graders that are at the same level of anxiety of what we had seen from people that were in mental institutions back in like the 50s. Like, that's the level that we have for middle schoolers now. Imagine what the adults are looking like right now. So we don't know anything about this one, but there's definitely a moral crisis going on in the nation right now to think that this is the response that needs to happen in some fashion, that this is the way out, that this is this is the proper response to whatever's going on in their life or to make some kind of point. And you know the mainstream media is going to talk about this for a while with AR-styled rifles. That's going to encourage the political season to go after ARs as well. So that's interesting. Let's go to the phones here, shall we? On WSIC in North Carolina, talking about the Ten Commandments. How we doing?
Yeah, this is the sick and tired patriot. I heard you, but I have since 8 years old, I'm 52 now, I had ruptured discs in my back, right? My grandfather told me that I also had a reading disability, as far as being able to read and comprehend the Bible. He said, as long as you stick with the Ten Commandments, learn them and study them and make sure that you keep them Ten Commandments, you can't go wrong. And I'm 52 now, and I have had to get back to my back problems. I've always kept that in my head. I've had to self-medicate literally most of my life.
Sure.
And I learned how to do it respectfully, you know. And in the eyes of North Carolina, I'm a bloodthirsty criminal now because of, you know. I own my own business. I've done that for 20 years, a tool and die maker. I see them getting locked up every day and some of the laws they got. I just feel like that creates criminals more than
it does. It does. I appreciate it. I love your name, by the way, the Sick and Tired Patriot. God bless you for that one. Keep up that fight, my friend. You're right. I mean, it is a foundational value for the Ten Commandments to have. If you take anything else away from the Bible and from religious texts, that's a great one to do it and keep those. We need more of that in the family. Appreciate it. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Sarnes. Everybody have a great Friday. Enjoy the weekend. Todd will be back at it on Newsmax tonight.